to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
From all of us to all of you, a very Merry Christmas. And at this joyful time of year, we want you to be with us. So gather round our lovely tree where all the lights are shining. We'll be as happy as can be while all the bells are chiming. Ding dong dingle, what a merry sound. Ding dong dingle, Kris Kringle is in town. And now I'll introduce you to the gang that's here to meet you. The happy house of Mickey Mouse is waiting here to greet you.
Ha ha! Hi, folks! Merry Christmas!
Happy New Year, too!
Ha ha! Merry, Merry Christmas!
From all of us to you, from all of us to all of you, can't wait until you're with us. We'll meet beneath the mistletoe and say a Merry Christmas!
Hello and welcome to show number 113 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this is Ed. Welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to join a conversation in progress between myself, Jimmy, and Sam, talking about our holiday memories from Walt Disney World and even some of our home traditions too. So pull up a chair and join the conversation. Here we go.
And it's really cool that you're back. And you know, Sam, I love going down in those holiday times. And I really do miss it. And you know what? It brings back just so much memories.
Absolutely it does. The Walt Disney World during the holiday season is unlike any other time. And it's so unique to be there. Whether you're in the parks or in one of the resorts or any place, it's all about family. It's all about memories. And I love that time of year. I'm fresh back and have tons of things to talk about. But you know, maybe we spend some time talking about some of our memories from being down at Walt Disney World during the holidays.
That's a thought. Jimmy, have you been down during the holidays?
We went once. It was just me and Kim. It was in 2006. We actually got there New Year's Day. We flew out New Year's Day. And I'm kind of bummed out that I didn't get the chance to go down this year and see the last year of Osmo and Lights, because I've only seen it once. Stacy, who's one of our admins in the Disney Nerds group, is actually there right now.
That's pretty cool. Nice. Gotta love being there. The Osborne lights are awesome. I remember first seeing them. They started back on Residential Street. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that or not, but that's where those things started. Then back in 2005, when they brought in Lights, Motors, Action, they had to move it someplace, and the Streets of America seemed like the right place. They started dancing a few years later, and it's been 20 years. It's crazy.
Now, that was one of the other holiday things that I seem to miss out on. We saw the Osborne lights for the first time when it was on the Streets of America, and the only thing we kept hearing about was how cool it was on the Residential Street when they had it on the backlot tour.
Did you prefer it there?
I had never seen it there.
Oh, I thought you said the first time you went it was there.
Well, no, unfortunately not. First time we went through the Streets of America.
So there was – it felt like – I was only there once. It felt like there was more room, or it couldn't just not have been as crowded. I'm not sure. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you think – it seemed like it would just fit better on Residential Street.
Well, you have houses to decorate.
Sure. You know? Yeah, right.
Right. And you had the ride taking you through it. I don't think you were walking through it. So it was kind of like you kept on moving. I would have liked to see it there. I really don't mind it where it is. And to us, it was almost like a surprise. I don't think we were ready for the Osborne lights the first time we saw it. We were lucky enough to see it twice or two different trips. But the first time was a really, really fun time for the family. Because, like I said, we had no clue what it was, And we had actually started walking down the street before it started the first night. So as we were halfway down the street, everything just kind of started up. I mean, we saw that everything was decorated, and you can't help but see all the lights hanging. And Quinn kind of nailed it. It was going to be a light show. But once it started, wow.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Sam, did you find, when you were down there, did you find the cat?
Yes, I found the cat. And was then reminded that the cat is moving every week that they started last year. So they're moving the Halloween cat that was left in the Osborne's lights, left over, so they'd hide it in the Christmas lights. Which really started, it's a purple cat, and believe it or not, it's hard to see. You would think it would be easy to spot, but with all those lights,
it's almost
hard
like
to find.
It's like a black light type of like dark.
Exactly, and they started hiding it in all of these weird places, and you'd find it, and we found it, and then they move it. So like every Monday, the thing's showing up in a different place.
Nice.
They started that a few years ago. But that's really led to this hidden everything down there, and I really like that. You know, I can remember with the kids looking for hidden Mickeys every place.
Well, the only thing that worries me about that, though, is that every time you see something, you have to wonder if it's hidden or, you know what I mean?
Like
if
everything's planned or not. You're right. Everything's hidden, but some of them were obviously hidden. And last week's show, if you guys heard John and I walking through there, he pointed things out to me that I hadn't seen, and I pointed things out to him that he hadn't seen, which was pretty cool all the way around.
Sure. And I want to apologize to the kids listening, but I think we heard Sam have a Kermit-gasm last week.
The Kermit is awesome because I thought I found the Kermit because there are some actual, like, I don't want to say stuffed animals, but there's some, like, dolls in with the lights. The Stitch is a doll like that, and there's a Kermit and a Miss Piggy, and I thought that was a Kermit. And John told me, no, that's not it. It's around the corner here, and it's really cool. And then the Figment. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, a hidden Figment. Are you kidding me? Purple lights with
Steve Swanson
orange?
Would be so proud of you.
Exactly.
Out
I know
over.
That. I know that.
Well, the kids loved it because of finding the hidden Mickeys, because we were told there was a specific number when we went around looking. Even before that, though, at home, we had a Pluto Christmas ornament. And even before the Elf on the Shelf and all the other stuff, we've always had that Pluto ornament where that would be hidden somewhere after we set up all the Christmas decorations. And the kids, that would be one of the goals, would be to find it. So it's always kind of cool to kind of tie those type of things in. And we do have a lot of the type of Disney ornaments on the tree at this point.
Sure.
We had a culling of the tree about maybe 3 years ago where you go through, you find out all the ornaments you want to keep, the ones you want to pack away, maybe not use every year anymore, but you got to keep as memories.
Sam, I saw today on Facebook in the group, you made a pretty bold prediction that you think the lights may not be going away.
So I did it on last week's show, too, if you guys go back and listen to that. That's the Hollywood Studios walkthrough. And it's 20 years of the Osborne lights. That's what this year is. And Disney announced that the Osborne lights, this is the last year for them. If you look at sort of the history of the family and what's happening, Mr. Osborne passed away in 2011, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And there was a contract with Disney that apparently ran for 20 years. And it was, nobody knows what happened in negotiations, but anyway you look at it, the name Osborne is no longer going to be associated with the lights. Now, Disney in their press release said, with the creation of Toy Story Land and the creation of Star Wars Land, we won't be able to do the Osborne lights next year. But if you think about it, construction for Toy Story Land's in a backstage area. Construction for Star Wars Land's in sort of a backstage area. I don't see any reason why we won't still have holiday lights or the merry and bright holiday lights in studios without the Osborne name. Now, I'm waiting for summertime to get some announcements and things like that. But sure. At the end of the day, something I really enjoyed this past trip, there is a window in the streets of America that is the Osborne Electric Company. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it was there. I don't know if it was there before this holiday trip, but it really does a great job of sort of summarizing in Disney style a tribute to the Osborne lights that could be there for years and years to come while the holiday lights continue. So I think they're
coming. Oh, sure. I kind of agree with that. I think that's a good possibility. Do you guys do light shows at home? Do you put lights outside?
We have in the past. I didn't do it this year. For no other reason than sheer laziness.
Mm-hmm. Well, I invested in the laser light this year, the laser shower light.
Yeah, come on, which, are you serious?
Oh, definitely. But I tell you what, here's how I worked it out. Probably about maybe 10 years ago now, we invested in one of those machines that you have about 6 different plugs. So you plug the lights into them, and it plays music, and then it kind of makes the music dance,
sure.
or makes the lights dance.
Sure.
So as my tribute to the Osborne lights, we couldn't say no to this. So it's not as good as some people have with their computers hooked up, and they have the lights really synchronized to the music. It's a setup machine, but our yard would always have the lights kind of cycling through and the loud music and such. But with this year with the laser lights, it kind of ties in, and it makes it even nicer.
So I heard... And this may just be a total rumor, that they were going to start to ban those lights.
I think they'll start banning the lights as soon as they start banning the hoverboards.
Well, you know, Amazon took them. They're not selling the hoverboards anymore.
I saw that.
But the lights, apparently, because it uses like a laser pointer.
Right. I heard that the other night.
They're messing
you know,
with aircraft.
I wanted to see if I could bounce it off the clouds or not. I never gave it a shot. So they were pretty low clouds.
The plane crashes in Philly. We'll know Ed's playing with his Christmas lights.
I will share a YouTube video with you guys from a few years ago when Nick started our Light-O-Rama display that we have here, which is 32 circuits, all controlled by a computer. And yeah, it's lit up. It's
nice.
Pretty loud. We added the Muppets theme this year. We tend to add a new song every year, a lot of Trans-Siberian Orchestra stuff. I got to get the Star Wars theme added. But, yes, we definitely have the inspiration from the Osborne lights that have carried back to our house.
You know what? I forgot all about that. But now that you mentioned it, you sent me a video last year right after you and Nick had put them up.
Ed set it up. So it's all. And we had some decent weather up here north the last few weekends, so we were able to get some things
it's
done
sick
outside.
Warm.
It absolutely is.
And the craziness is, it's going to be like a little cold this week, but it's going to go right back up to the upper 60s by next week.
Which is unbelievable, living in Pennsylvania and having weather like that.
it's actually, I'm missing the snow. I know I'm going to be hating that thought.
You can't wait till February, and we're going to play that back.
Yeah.
So the Osborne lights we brought back to the house. Something else that I've brought back to the house is the train and monorail that are now annual traditions with our tree here at the house. Mm. And not just the train and the monorail, but the Contemporary Resort, the Polynesian Resort, the Epcot
Ball. Oh, very cool.
You name the accessory, and I've collected it over the years. And
I saw the Contemporary on sale at the Disney store today. I was checking all the clearance stuff.
Oh, really?
Got it.
Yeah, they had free shipping today, so
if you have,
I was going
if you
on
have
there.
The monorail, the Contemporary comes with two pieces of straight track, and it goes right through it.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Which is pretty cool. Yep.
The monorail. Yeah. No. The monorail things have gotten completely ridiculous.
They have. So I had to buy another one because I burned the motor out of my first one, right? but the new ones, they have little doors on them and little figures that go inside them and all kind of crazy stuff that my original one did not have.
Nice.
Awesome.
I also found a website of a place where you can send it to, and they will change the gear ratio to make it real fast. Which made me think of rocket rods, but that's a whole other story for another day.
Pimp my monorail.
Pimp my mono. Maybe that's what Disney needs to do.
Yeah. Well, Disney needs to replace my mono.
Speed track.
Man, I saw some video the other day, and I don't remember what it was, but it was in Disneyland with their monorail. Their monorail is so much better than our monorail.
Oh, it just looks cooler, too.
It does. It looks futuristic.
I have monorail envy.
Yes, agree.
I heard that. So do you guys have any major traditions over the holidays? What do you guys do down south? I mean, you never have snow, so, you know, there's no way you're going to be sledding or doing any football in the snow or anything like
that?
We did
snow one year. 2005, maybe? It actually snowed Christmas Day. That's the only time I can, since I've been alive, I've ever had it snow on Christmas. And obviously when it snows here, we don't, it doesn't stay.
Right. Traditionally, we only have, or we always have breakfast Christmas morning. So anybody that's local, that's friend or relatives, that doesn't have any major plans, they'll swing over for breakfast. And then once we hit, you know, the afternoon, everybody, you know, splits for their houses for wherever they're going relative-wise for Christmas.
We do Christmas Eve night down in Lafitte where I grew up with my mom's side of the family. That's kind of a big deal. It's at my aunt's house, and it's a house full of people. I'm sure Farrah will be there this year. She's usually awesome. There with her kids.
Oh, cool.
You do the big king cake down there for that?
Not for no, that's Mardi Gras, man. Come on.
It's Mardi Gras? I thought it was both Mardi Gras and Christmas.
No, not Christmas.
That's everything. How about, Sam, do you do the fishes? Night Absolutely, of the Fishes
yeah.
on Christmas
yeah, yeah,
Eve?
Christmas, yeah,
we do
fishes.
Too.
What's Night of the Fishes?
Oh, it's an Italian. Is it Catholic Italian or just
I think
Italian?
It's Catholic Italian. It's seven different fishes representing seven sacraments is the story behind it.
That's right, good. And usually kind of have more than seven, but
just like
everybody goes
fish?
Off. No,
you're
different.
Talking shrimp, you're talking salmon, you're talking...
Calamari,
yeah. Go right down the list and seven different types
clams.
Of fish.
What?
Flounder or... Yeah. It's basically... Well, Friday, you know, Friday's always the... You don't eat meat to begin with. Well, every Catholic lived through that for how many years.
Right.
And now, you know, it's just another tradition. The night before, you're basically kind of... eating a little bit better, and then the next day you just kind of gouge.
I don't know about eating better. I mean,
so
that was true.
So
there's our butter involved with those.
Our Christmas Eve tradition is we all get together and do a lot of drinking.
Well, I didn't say that didn't happen.
All the cousins, and we go to my aunt's house, and all my cousins, and you know, sisters and brothers, and just the whole family. It's the you know, probably twice a year that we're all together, and that's, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, and then Christmas Day we do it here. It's at my house. It's smaller. It's just me and my wife and the kids, and my mom, dad, and my nieces and nephews, my sister. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. We took one holiday, one Thanksgiving. We did nothing with family, and it was the first new Muppet movie that came out. The first one of those, and it was kind of one of those relaxing days where we made it a day for just our family, and the Muppets was a big part of it.
Very cool.
And then, you know, it was a nice Thanksgiving meal after that, the four of us. But yeah, you're right. The holidays are for family, and you got to see people you haven't seen all year.
Yeah.
Muppets yep. Family Christmas.
Oh, it was great. And, you know, it was funny because we saw another family in King of Prussia who did the same exact thing we did. Which is so funny because we were both playing hooky on our families.
Muppets Family Christmas, love it. It's tradition for us for sure.
Awesome. Always watching the TV. All the different types of Christmas shows were traditional for us. Not so much nowadays, I've noticed, in that you could see them multiple times and everybody's got them on DVDs and such like that. That's almost a shame that that's not too much of a holiday tradition anymore, I think.
Yeah.
Kids aren't really that psyched about it as much as we were. I mean, we knew when Peanuts was going to be on, or we knew when it was a Santa without a Christmas, or Christmas without a Santa Claus.
Yep, absolutely.
And the Disney Christmas specials were okay. I don't remember too many that really stood out to me. There was the Christmas Carol version, both the Muppets and then the Disney characters, where Mickey was, I think, who's the poor guy, the accountant, Cratchit?
Cratchit, yeah, Bob Cratchit.
Right. And Scrooge, of course, was Scrooge.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was perfect.
What's your favorite one? Like, not counting the Muppets or Disney, what's your favorite Christmas Carol?
Christmas Carol or Christmas show?
The movie, A Christmas Carol. There's so many versions of it. There's the one with, like, favorite is the one with George C. Scott.
Bill Murray. I like the Bill Murray version.
Of Scrooged.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
So
I know. Traditionally, George C. Scott was a good one.
And then the guy, Professor Xavier, the bald guy.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want him, too. He was Scrooge.
Oh, I'm having a blank as far as Jean-Luc Picard's name.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. They did one with him. And then
He does the best commercials for, what's the hard cider? Yeah, it's a great commercial to have him doing that advertisement where he just like sticks his head into the camera shot and the director's like, okay, thank you, we've had enough. And he just is so disgruntled, it's perfect.
Huh.
It might be regional.
I might have to
figure out what it is. Well, anyway, and I tell you what, this time of the year makes me always kind of think of the trips we did down in Disney. around the holidays. One of the biggest things that stuck out was we went once when we were at the we saw them building the gingerbread house of the Grand Floridian.
Nice.
We were lucky enough to be there at the beginning of it, and over the 4 days we were there, they basically constructed the entire house up to the point where they had a cherry picker to kind of keep putting the roof tiles on and such like that.
That's cool.
Did you buy a plank?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we bought planks and we sent them also because you can buy them to send. And I think they had it so you can kind of write on it with ink or icing at one point or whatever, and you can kind of address it, and then they put it in a box. But that was pretty cool. It was really nice, and it's literally right in the lobby, and they open up the windows on it, and like Jimmy was saying, they sell the gingerbread.
I've heard.
I don't
so
think
here's my one of my Disney confessions. I've never been to the Grand Floridian.
Like, oh,
I've never been in the lobby. I've never stopped there.
Right. Well, definitely put it on your list.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. I've done all the other ones.
That I tell you what, that's one of the most relaxing lobbies I've ever been in.
It is.
Like, you can walk into the lobby, sit on the couch, listen to the piano player, listen to the band, just even listen to the background music as it's going on, watch people walk by, things going on, nothing's ever rushed. One of the other things I do remember the family really enjoying was when we went to Epcot during the holidays. They had the really, really cool plan to put different Santas in the different countries. And then as you went around, you could kind of listen to them tell their stories in their native languages, which of course then got translated to English for you. And you got to at least listen to the traditions. And the kids actually really were paying attention to a lot of them. I think the one that really got their attention was... Ooh, I instinctively want to say Nana Christmas, but I can't remember what the Italian Santa was because it was a she actually. And
Fana.
Yes, thank you very much. And she really stood out for those guys. They really enjoyed that. They'll still talk about her today.
You know, La Befana is one that we just saw a few weeks ago when we were down there. And in fact, holidays around the world at Epcot, especially here in 2015. It has really evolved from a Santa Claus in every country to a must-do festival at Epcot. And I really enjoyed that, and I've enjoyed watching this thing evolve. In fact, so much so that now you get your little passport with the stamps, just like you would at Food and Wine or Flower and Garden. It's made it very interesting walking around Epcot and seeing not just the Santa Clauses, but listening to the stories like La Befana in Italy or Helga's story in Germany. Pierre Noël over in France told a great story about the Christmas spirit. Even in Morocco or Norway was a wonderful story. Sigrid in the mischievous Christmas gnome was really cool. All of which... You know, hopefully we'll have some audio from that for the week of Christmas for the show. So that was definitely fun and something to look forward to. And
very cool.
Ultimately, that ends, you know, holidays around the world, those Santas and Santa Claus back in America. And in fact, right in that location, which we were talking about recently, where the new restroom is, right, the really big one, right in front of that, there's an entire Christmas village set up there now. So you have the Santa Clauses there, and there's four or five shops and some food stands, and it's really neat the way they pulled that together with a huge Christmas tree. And when Candlelight Procession lets out, that restroom was still a good one because there weren't that long of a line, that's for sure. Candlelight Procession was just incredible. You guys have both done that, right?
I have not.
Sure. Ours was great.
Definitely
we did
on
ours
my list.
We did ours with Brian Dennehy, and
nice.
He was really good. Yes. And that was actually – that's a great memory in a couple ways because we did that when we did the dining plan. So this was a little while ago, probably the second year in the dining plan when you got everything for it. So we did the Les Celliers dinner with the package for the Candlelight Processional. And it was really, really fun.
They have extended those packages. I've done them in the past, and it used to be one price for any of the dinners around World Showcase, and you get your little sticker that you wear to guarantee you a seat, which is really important if you do want to sit down.
True.
They've created tiers now, so every restaurant's a different price, and you can also get lunch, and lunch is a different price. What I found is, and one of the things that I really enjoy at Epcot, and my kids love it, is eating in China. Eating at Nine Dragons. And I know a lot of people, it gets a bad name, but you know what? If you like it, you go for it. My kids love it. I like it. And for lunch, it was the least expensive option to get one of those passes for Candlelight Processional. So we absolutely did it, and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Very cool. Do you guys ever take pictures in the park for cards? Holiday pictures that you can use then for your Christmas cards?
I have. Not at the parks, but at downtown. You know, the right outside the Christmas store, right by the entrance of downtown Disney? There's that, like, holiday scene with the characters.
It says, Happy Holidays with Pluto, Goofy, Mickey, Donald all singing from hymnals.
Yep.
That's it. That's the one.
That's the one.
We have
used that for our Christmas cards before.
We did it 3 years in a row, and actually I had my mom say, are you ever going to get off of that?
Your mom called you out. That's cool.
But yeah, we, regardless if we're in downtown Disney, we always look that. We always look that one up, take a picture with the kids. And there's also, they have a Winnie the Pooh bench that's been moving around downtown Disney.
Yes.
And we've got pictures of the kids from very young every time we go down on that too. But the holiday one's great. And actually, I think that moved for a little while from where it was. Because you're right, it was right near where that fountain was, where the entrance and the buses let you out. And then it did move for a while, but
it's back in that spot.
It seems like it's back. Yeah,
it's back in
exactly.
That spot. Yes, it was.
I think it actually was might have been in a park where I remember seeing it somewhere really odd, like out of downtown Disney or something. But
so I can say that after coming back, downtown Disney is no more. Everything is Disney Springs. Even the in-room channel that you watch for the coming attractions downtown Disney, it's the Disney Springs channel. So everything has changed.
In October, I think it was that way.
Well, they were starting, but you're right. It wasn't exclusive.
Yeah. Now, I remember one of the things that caught me when we were there in October, the buses said both. So it would say Disney, downtown Disney, and then it would flip to Disney Springs, and then it would flip to that. So I guess
how did they
avoid confusion.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sure. How did they do the holiday decorating for that? Or did they have any?
It was all decorated for the holidays. No different than I remember. It actually looked like a few topiaries from Food and Wine were down there, including the Muppets, including Lady and the Tramp were there. And in fact, one thing I should note, back at Epcot, there were lots of topiaries there that were Christmas-themed now. So Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, when you walked in. In fact, the Goofy that last year was kicking a soccer ball, they put ice skates on him, and it looks like he's skating with Donald, which I thought was pretty cool. They're always recycling those things, right? I just put a skate on him. It'll look like he's skating as opposed to kicking a ball. And it does.
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Definitely decorations everywhere.
And I tell you, the way they decorate those parks is amazing. Have you ever been there on the crossover day between fall and Christmas, or Halloween and Christmas? We were lucky enough to be there. We've actually done two trips in that time period, kind of like the end of September, or I'm sorry, end of October going into November when they do the changeover. Literally, we went to the Magic Kingdom on a Monday when it was Halloween decorated, went on a Tuesday, and it was all Christmas decorated. One night, total change out.
Crazy.
Everything but the tree they had in the park.
Well, they don't put the tree up until after the parade, right?
Yeah, that's what I understood it to be, yeah.
Because they need that shot down Main Street to the castle.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, and every picture I've seen from our, you know, being in the parks, and every other picture has all the wreaths going across and the garland going across the streets, which they don't do anymore.
Right.
And it's very noticeable now because it looked very, very closed and quaint, I guess, as far as when they had it decorated like that, almost even smaller towny looking. And now it's got a nice little classy look to it. I like the decorations. For
yeah, they kind of come off the poles and kind of come just a few feet into the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're cool.
And kind of go up in the air.
Yeah, but they don't cross all the way.
Yeah. But that was really fun. And that was actually, again, on the dining plan that time. So we were eating at the Crystal Palace that morning. So we got to walk down Main Street before anybody else was in the park. And it was all beautiful, decorated. And it was actually, we were surprised that they did it so fast. And so we got a couple cool pictures for that one, too. And it was really even cooler that day. Later on, we ate at Casey's. So it was funny because we kind of stayed, I guess, around Main Street. But the Casey's piano player had a Santa hat on. He was playing. They have that red and white striped outfit he wears. And he was playing all Christmas tunes.
Yep.
And my son was big time in it, learning how to play piano, and of course he knew Christmas tunes. So he was sitting on the bench with him, watching him play and stuff like that. He was invited to. It was pretty cool watching that.
That's really cool.
Seeing him, yeah, getting excited about it.
That's one of the little things I'll have audio for in the Christmas show, which is the Casey's player just going away on Christmas tunes, and then even making the way down into Adventureland and the jug band that walks around, in Frontierland doing their Christmas renditions of things. It was all cool. It's just different.
Well, you get to see all the different guys walking around the Main Street Philharmonic. I want to say this right because I get stuck because of Mickey's PhilharMagic.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have the Main Street Philharmonic walking around doing Christmas tunes. You have the guys over in Frontierland doing it. Adventureland, you're going to hear bongos doing like Jingle Bells. I mean, it's really cool how they do a lot of the music during the year, during the holidays.
It's different. And, you know, the thing that throws me off is when you walk into Epcot and you don't hear the Future World soundtrack. You hear Christmas music. And it takes a few minutes to be like, okay, yeah, this is all right. I'm good with it. Because at first I'm going, wait a minute, where's my song? But it works out.
It's what you want to have at the holidays.
Sure. So if you're going to the... So if you're headed down during the holidays, one thing that you have to do is Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. I think it's absolutely incredible. One of our favorite parades as a family is the Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, and specifically the Nutcrackers soldiers.
Do you think
that are marching?
Do you think it's better than Boo to You?
Now I'll go to that two ways because I've seen them both. Boo to You, you can only see during the Halloween party, and the coolest part to that, to me, is the Haunted Mansion grave diggers with their shovels that they scrape and it sparks up, and that's really cool. It's absolutely cool. The Christmas party, the equivalent of that to me, is the soldiers that are marching, and the way that they march with the precision, and there's the thump, 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 and there's tons of them, like wrapped almost all the way around the hub, is really cool to watch. So that's what I can compare them to. But remember that they're both hard tickets. But the Christmas party, you can see the week of Christmas without a Christmas party ticket because they play that all day. Yeah. So I'd take that into account. In fact, one of the things that I learned in this past week, there's been a lot of pictures coming from the park of crowd levels, things like that. And it is absolutely packed Christmas week, and it will be, right? The last 2 weeks of December are ridiculously crowded. I was there the first couple of weeks in December when crowd levels are okay, they're not horrible. After Thanksgiving, people sort of clear out, and there's a two-week period where it's not that bad, except the Magic Kingdom. And here's why. They have a Christmas party 4 days a week. Okay? So 4 days a week, the Magic Kingdom closes at 7 o'clock unless you have a ticket for the hard ticket event, which means the other three nights of the week, Magic Kingdom is a madhouse. It is packed, unbelievable. So going to the Christmas party, it was lots of people there, but it wasn't packed standing on each other unless you're waiting to see a Frozen Holiday Wish in front of the castle, which is a madhouse. But the crowd calendar, even if you go out to touring plans, the days that it is not a Christmas party or the days that it is a Christmas party, it's very light. It's like one, two, or three because it's not that crowded through the day because people don't want to go to that park if they're going to get kicked out at 7 o'clock. They go someplace else.
Yeah.
So if you're going in the daytime and want to get some rides done, those are the days to do it, and then just head downtown or head to another park if you don't have a ticket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally like that in October for the Halloween party too.
Yeah.
We were there for – I was there for 5 days. I think it was maybe one day the Magic Kingdom did not have the party.
And it's packed.
Sure.
Because that's where you're going to go.
But I tell you what, if you're park hopping, that's the day you go to the Magic Kingdom in the morning for the party days.
Yeah.
You go there for the morning and the early afternoon, and then you hop to another park for the party time.
Yeah, because people that don't opt to get the park hoppers are not going to go to Magic Kingdom that day because it's such a short day. They're going to go on the non-party
night. Exactly.
Right. And there's a lot of people that don't get hoppers because there's a lot of tour groups, there's a lot of arranged trips, things like that, where the standard ticket comes just, you know, day by day, not hopper,
yep.
One part.
You're absolutely right. So, but love the Very Merry Christmas Party. think it's one of the best things going. They have the dance party that goes on inside the Golden Horseshoe, so you get to go inside there if you want to. Jingle Cruise is incredible.
I don't get the dance party. The Jingle Cruise, I totally loved that. Listening to that a couple weeks ago was really fun. I totally sad that I missed that. I'm so sad that I missed them doing the Country Bear
Christmas
Jamboree.
Yeah,
with the Christmas.
I never saw that.
I did not
get to see that.
Neither have I. Yeah.
But so the dance parties, I'm with you. In fact, at one point this past trip, we were waiting to watch Carousel Progress. Which, by the way, I don't think we've talked about it on the show, Ed, but you and I noted that there definitely have been some improvements made to Carousel of Progress from a standpoint of lighting and new animatronics and new sound, and it looks better than it has in a long, long time.
Oh, no doubt. They did have a little snafu going on there. The one scene, the dad's neck was hanging out.
Oops.
Which I've never seen actually something that blatant. But you're right. Everything else was kind of working really nice.
Working very nicely. But as we were waiting for Carousel Progress, the Tomorrowland dance party was going on. And I'm not a big dance party guy. But looking at it, there were a lot of people participating in that dance party, which is why Disney keeps doing it. So they have an audience. People are doing it. You're going to keep going.
Sure. And again, it comes down to the family thing. I remember doing the same thing. We're waiting online. I think it might have been for the People Mover. And the party started going. And, you know, you'll see some families getting up and dancing together.
Yeah
it's worth it for that. I'm not gonna fault it at all. People are getting out of their normal, I guess, comfort zone, too, because they're in the parks.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right, and it's a freebie.
Yep.
So nothing wrong with that.
Yep, so definitely love Mickey's Christmas Party. I think it's a great time. The Totally Tomorrowland Christmas, I'll have some audio for that coming up. Celebrate the Magic with the Christmas Tag is cool. That's where you get the gingerbread castle and you get the candy cane striped castle, which is kind of cool.
Well, okay, here's a key question. Now, I heard people complaining even like 5 years ago that the Christmas party, it wasn't worth it anymore because they didn't give cookies or hot cocoa for free or treats like that.
No, they still had the snickerdoodles and the hot chocolate. Still,
and
at
you
all
can
the
get
stands.
Them where?
You could get them. Holy cow, there's a whole bunch of places here where you can get them. You can get
was it
them
like
at
setups just for that?
No,
or was it
like Columbia Harbor House was only that. The lunching pad over in Tomorrowland. Pete Silly Slideshow, they had them back there. So they actually brought the characters out of the tent, and the tent was where you could get your snacks. Tomorrowland Terrace, Tortuga Tavern. So those seasonal places were giving that stuff away.
Nice.
Which was good. Yeah, and so if you don't want cookies, you get apple slices.
I want cookies.
You can only eat so many snickerdoodles, I found.
True.
I bet it's a big number, though.
The number's big. You can also only drink so much hot chocolate in Florida, even if it does perceive to be cold.
Right.
There's definitely.
And they still have the snow?
They have the snow on Main Street. I will also say that there's now some snow around the hub. So when they did this hub construction and redid it, I'll tell you what, one thing, the castle lighting, which I'm working on a video for, if you're in the hub, when they light the castle lights, it's now, I know it's frozen and say what you want about that, but it is a show. And they use that Celebrate the Magic projection map to make it that much cooler when they turn the lights on. But when they do, those two extra turrets for the castle that wrap down into the hub make you feel like you're inside the castle when those lights go on. You're not just looking at the castle. It wraps around you. It really makes it submersive. And I think that's what they were after with this. And they never used that term, but you really feel like the castle hugs you when you're in the hub, which is really cool. But all that gets to there, I believe there's some snow machines now in that new construction because there's snow coming down in the hub, which it didn't do that in the past. It was just on Main Street.
Have they improved on the snow mixture, or is it still a little slimy?
It depends on the weather.
I didn't even think of that. You're right.
It depends on the weather. It depends on humidity. It depends on if there's a mist of rain. If it's a nice, clear day, it comes down nicely as it's supposed to. But if you get a little mist in the air, not so nice. That's when it gets a little slimy.
Right, right. Now, we were really surprised. I think they... I want to say they had it at Epcot, too. But I can't really
see it at
say it 100%.
Main Street, the Hub, and for the Osborne Lights. Those lights.
Definitely the lights, yeah, in Main Street. Very cool. That does definitely add a little touch of the holidays to it.
It does.
Even though it's like 70 degrees. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You just can't help to grab my youngest and try to wash his hair with the soap or with the snow. He gets a little upset with me when I do that.
Oh, I'm sure.
But he gets over it.
Very cool. Well, I tell you what, guys, we've all got our Christmas and holiday traditions, and going to Walt Disney World during this time of the year only creates so many more.
It does. Wow, it does.
If you're lucky enough to get down there, or if you've been down there and you want to share any of those traditions, please get in touch with the show. Let us know how you've spent your holidays down at Walt Disney World. And how would they tell us, Jimmy?
They can email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. You can also reach us via our group, Disney Nerds, Facebook, our Facebook page, which is the Disney Nerds Podcast, and on Twitter at the Disney Nerds and Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Okay, guys, well, that's it for the Disney Nerds Podcast, show number 113. I hope you enjoyed hearing a little bit about our kind of holiday traditions. Before we sign off today, we want to wish you and your family the very best of holidays. Please stay safe out there. Enjoy family and friends. This is the time for it. And we hope you have a Disney trip on the horizon. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
May the Force be with you.
What a merry sound. Ding, dong, dingle. Kris Kringle is in town. And now I'll introduce you to the gang that's here to meet you. The happy house of Mickey Mouse is waiting here to greet you.
Ha ha! Hi, folks! Merry Christmas!
Happy New Year, too.
Ha ha! Merry, Merry Christmas!
From all of us to you. From all of us to all of you, can't wait until you're with us. We'll meet beneath the mistletoe and say a Merry Christmas.
So when are you going to see Star Wars, Jimmy?
Tomorrow at 7:30.
Ed, when are you going?
7:20.
So that's Thursday at 7:30. I'm going Thursday at 9:30.
I'm going Thursday at 7:40, which is 6:40 your time, Jimmy, and again Friday.
And I tell you what, guys, come back for show number 114. We promise it will be the spoiler show. We'll make clear it beforehand. So if you want to listen in, if you've seen the movie, listen and discuss it, because we're going to talk all about it.
Can't wait.
Edward. Ed, did you see the new trailer for Captain America Civil War?
Yeah, I'm not digging it.
What?